It's good to have Menno Gettert sharing the work of the Gideons. One thing that doesn't change is the Word of God. Amen. And he's here to share with us what that Word has been doing as it's spread around the world. So, Lord bless you, brother, as you bring it to us.
Now?
Yes.
I thought that was another song. So.
Well, it's great to be with you. When she played the offertory, it reminded me of a pastor friend of mine who played Amazing Grace at a funeral four different ways. And I said afterwards, I wonder if the ivory is still on the keys. I didn't see him flying through the air here. But it's great to be with you and share what's happening. We get a magazine every month, and there's a story in there, this one, Past Prison Walls, that I want to share with you because it made such an impression on me. And this is about the Angola prison in southern Alabama, which for years was called the Alcatraz of the South. It was known as the bloodiest, most violent prison in the entire 50 states. And it was also known for wilderness and so forth. And many of the inmates were lifers. They had been given a life sentence, some without parole, so they would never leave those prison walls in their lifetime. And there were quite a few that were there on death row. In this prison, there was also a warden for a long time who was a very stern person, and the church groups and organizations could not come in because he felt it was too dangerous. Then in 1995, Burl Cain was appointed the warden, and he was a devout Christian. And his mother had told him when he was appointed, and I want to read the words there, that his mother had told him that these men are going to be in your care and you're going to be accountable for their souls. You make sure that you have the opportunity to know that they know God, and that you better do what is right to let them know that. Burl Cain knew what he was taking over as a responsibility as warden. And the inmates, as I mentioned, were from a very violent crime background. However, he received a note from one of the inmates, rather the chaplain did, and gave it to the warden. He wanted a Bible. And Burl then knew about the Gideons, and so he sent the note to the Gideons at Nashville, Tennessee, our international headquarters, and Jack Malone happened to receive it, and he made it a point to drive to the prison in Alabama and deliver the Bible personally to that inmate. When he was done visiting with the inmate, he met with Burl Cain and he told them about their ministry in the prisons and that they make the Bible available to every inmate that wants one. And so Burl arranged with Jack for a group that would come. First they had to go through some training, then they had to be cleared for security. I had to go through the same thing at Jefferson County Jail when for 5 years I worked with David Voschel as the chaplain there, a wonderful, wonderful Christian chaplain. And Jack sent out a letter to quite a few Gideons if they might be interested in coming and participating in it. and 103 Gideons responded. And they went into the prison, and they met first with the warden and the chaplains, and then they went to the various cells and distributed the testaments, and then also would share a New Testament with them if they wanted one. And this had such success afterwards as they met and reviewed what had happened. And 54 men had given a prayer of commitment to Christ, and 48 had given a prayer of renewed dedication or commitment. And so in this, they recognized that a greater effort had to be put forth than just coming once a year or so with testaments and giving them to the inmates. And so Burl Cain, the warden, opened it up to other organizations and churches that they would come to. And then Jack checked with, there was a local Gideon there that might be interested, and Bob Bosch volunteered that he wanted to work with the inmates and in the prison ministry. And so Bob made several visits. He recalls that one time he stood in front of an inmate who was on death row. And he said he introduced himself, and the man was in shorts, it's quite warm in the prison, and he didn't respond in any way. And they stood there and looked at each other in a little bit, for a little while, and then Bob said, "Would you like to pray?" And the man nodded, and he said, "You pray." "I don't know how," he said. "I've never prayed." He said, "You'll do fine. You pray and tell God exactly what's on your heart." And he said the man bowed his head and shut his eyes, and he prayed and poured out the sorrow and repentance in what he had done. And he said it was quite a lengthy prayer. And then when he opened his eyes, tears were coming down his cheeks, and Bob commended him for sharing with God. And he said, "Now, you're going to need renewed strength, because it's not going to be easy. You're going to have inmates ridicule you. Some will call you a sissy. You will have doubts in your mind for the commitment you have just made of asking Christ into your life." And he said, "Don't give up. Call on Jesus every day and many times a day." And so as Bob would continue to visit the prison, he would go over and see this man. And it had become quite an intimate relationship through a period of time. But that's not the end of the story. Bob was so convinced that they needed to do more, and he invited others. And then he had 68 Gideons one time who went with him, and they started after meeting with having breakfast with the warden and the chaplains, and the warden spoke to them. And incidentally, the warden carried one of these in his pocket at all times in case he had an opportunity to witness to someone. And then they went and handed out, because some of them do get on parole and are able to leave, some die, and the prison has 6,000 inmates. Now that is a big prison. I've been in a few as a guest. And it's been interesting to see the accommodations for our inmates there in various ones. Chillicothe, Ohio has one of the large ones, but nothing compared to something like this. And so Burl Cain, the warden, would make sure that as he hires additional chaplains, not just having one for all of those inmates, but rather a number of chaplains, so that as they have services in the various cell blocks, and do you recognize that 420, yes, you heard me right, 420 services a month are held in that prison? Every night in various cell blocks, on Sundays, on Saturdays, 420. And the chaplains have shared with Bob that it isn't the chaplains that are doing the work, it isn't the warden, but it's first of all God and the Holy Spirit. But it's the inmates who are witnessing to other inmates. The chaplain, Tony, lead chaplain, said that he knows for a fact that there's 40% of the inmates have made a commitment to Christ. Now, it's true, over a year from 1995 through last year when the interview was held with the warden and the chaplains, that that's a number of years. But when you consider the environment of a prison and a violent prison like this, people who have not had access to a Christian environment and so forth, to say that 40% of 6,000 have accepted Christ, that is a tremendous work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this has continued over the years, and the emphasis of what the warden shared with the interviewer from Gideon headquarters, that the mother, having told the warden, "You are accountable to God for the souls of these men," has borne fruit. And so as we think about the prisons, as you have your daily prayers, perhaps in morning devotions or in the evening before you go to bed, as you pray for your family and friends and special concerns for the pastor here and the staff, pray for the wardens in these prisons. They have a tremendous responsibility. There are other wardens now that are coming and watching what's happened here at Angola. I said it had the reputation of being the bloodiest prison in the system. Today it has the reputation of being the safest and the friendliest. And so that's what the Holy Spirit has done. Is God on his throne and still working? Amen. Is God an awesome God and still working miracles? Yes. And so as we have the opportunity, and I mentioned that for 5 years I worked with a chaplain. We had a wonderful chaplain here for years. He retired, and I tried to this week find out where he had gone and so forth, and discovered yesterday that he has moved to North Carolina. I'm trying to make contact with him because I visited him at his home. I was so impressed because in 49, I had the opportunity of working with the National Training School for Boys in Washington, D.C. And if we had a boy that misbehaved consistently, we would sometimes threaten him with saying, "You're going to the big house if you don't watch straightened out." And the big house was Chillicothe, Ohio. And that was a prison where the guards walked with clubs hooked onto their belt. And there was no messing around with any of the guards over there. And so I had the opportunity of visiting with the chaplain here at Jefferson County Jail, David Boschel. And he told me, he said, that I came out of the big house. I said, "Out of Chillicothe?" "Yes." And he didn't, I don't remember what crime he had committed. But he was paroled, and he had accepted Christ in prison. A Baptist pastor had come over there and had Bible study. And when he got out, he went to the pastor's house to participate in the Bible study there. And he met the pastor's daughter and married her, and then was pastor of a small church. And he made a visit back to the big house and to see if any of the inmates were still there that he had had the privilege of fellowshipping with. And then he went to the cemetery of the prison. And he walked among the crosses there to check the names and so forth. And as he walked towards his car, a voice so audible saying, "I want you in this ministry." "No," he said. As he got closer to the car, again the voice so audible, "I want you in this ministry." And he said, "No." And he turned the key and started to drive away, and the voice again came. Finally, he said yes. And so he had been at another prison before he came here, and then he was chaplain here at Jefferson County Jail. And I used to tell people that on Christmas Day I was in jail. And a couple of days, he would ask the ladies from the various churches he wanted 700 dozen cookies. And the couple of days before Christmas, we would have all these cookies on the tables, and a man stood at the end and snapping the sack open, and we would go through and put 10 cookies in a sack. And then on Christmas Day, we would start in at 8 o'clock and go to every cell, give them a sack of cookies, a New Testament, and a gift. And he was in charge of Jefferson County Jail, Gilpin County, and Clear Creek. And so when he retired, we were all sorry to see him leave, because he had 10 different programs going here. And the AA program, how to stop smoking, to bring your education level up to, if some of them hadn't graduated from high school, and there were quite a few, and so forth. And so he had the same idea in mind that Burl Cain did there in Angola. And the sad part was that just as the warden took over in Angola, the federal government stopped the program of having education in the prisons where they could bring their, you know, GED to high school level and so forth. But Burl Cain didn't let that bother him. He told the chaplains about it. He told friends. They went to prayer, and they developed another program, in which was actually more effective than the government-run program for the inmates. So you see, there are instances where something. Remember some of the news that we've had in the last few years about the prisons and the jails? Well, there's also a different story when you take a look at what happened with Burl Cain and the Gideons. And they continue to go. Bob Bosch specifically has a real burden on his heart for the inmates and goes over and visits with them and so forth. But they are planning now, I guess it's just passed, that they wanted a minimum of 100 Gideons to go with them into the prison again and to hand out testaments and to visit with them and to have prayer and to share with them the salvation message. Friday morning we were in the new hotel. Did you know that there's a new hotel in the Belmar Shopping Center? It will be open in about 2 weeks. It's a beautiful Hyatt hotel. And how we found out about it is that looked up the number in the phone book, and the young lady, I say young, anyone under 70 is young to me. And she had been in another Hyatt, and now she is manager of this one. And she called the Gideon because she said the Hyatt wants to make sure before we open any hotel that there's a Bible in every, not just every room, by every bed. And so she said, I remember in one hotel that I was, you had a dedication service. And we have a regular 10-minute dedication service. And there were about 10 of us there Friday morning. We had the Bibles stacked up so that the outside row was like this. And then inside, which forms a cross, is this, the white, and this way. And it forms a cross among that. And then we had the manager and the head housekeeper and so forth. There were four in management there. And we shared. And then she took us to several of the rooms and showed us those. And it's going to be a beautiful addition right in the midst of Belmar Shopping Center. And so we continue. But we had a sad note this past week also. It's the first of its kind. We had a national chain call us, said, come and get your Bibles. We can no longer have the Bibles in our hotel. Upper management has decreed that throughout this particular chain, they will not have the Bible. And you might add that to your prayers. We're adding that into our prayers, that there might be a change in the upper echelon, so to speak, and in the decision that we might be able to put the Word of God back in. There are so many testimonies of lives that have been changed because they read God's Word in a hotel room. And I'm sure I've shared this here, but I'll repeat it. We had the Thunderbird Motel in Fort Collins, and the man had called the Gideons, and he said, I'd like to have all new Bibles. I've just remodeled the entire motel, and could you furnish those? And they did, and they went around with him and put them in each room. And about a week later, he called, and he said to the man that he had been working with for this, could you come? I want to show you something. Well, as you get a call like that, you wonder, you know, did we forget to put a Bible there? Or was there a Bible that might have had a stain on it or something? We're all new ones, and so forth. Anyway, he greeted our man, and he said, follow me. I want to go up to the second floor and show you. And he got there to the room, and the Gideons, well, this is exactly the area that I work, that I put the Bibles in. And so they walked into a room, and he said, I told the maid to leave it exactly as she found it. And there on the nightstand, instead of the Bible, was a 357 or something like that, a Magnum revolver, and the Bible was gone. So we have no way of knowing whether that person who had that room wanted to take his own life or somebody else's, but at least the gun was there. So it gives us joy to see how God works in the lives of people and is able, through the Holy Spirit, to convince that this is not the route to go that they've been on. Friday afternoon, then, we were at the junior high, Skinner Junior High, and we gave our testaments to the students who were willing to take them. And I thought about this story. The interesting thing that happened at Angola Prison was that as they were done going among the inmates and so forth, the warden and the chaplains and the Gideons met to discuss how it had gone and so forth. And so it didn't say in the article who had made the suggestion, but one of the men in the group said, have you ever considered asking the children of the fathers who are in here to come for a visit? And so then they checked with the inmates who might be interested in, first of all, who were fathers, and who might want to ask their son or daughter to come. 800 fathers asked, and there were more than that. Some children didn't want to come. They had disowned their father by now or so. But 800 sons and daughters came. And the chaplains reported back later that as they walked among the fathers with their sons or daughters and so forth, slowly listening, they didn't just hear about a baseball game or about the weather, but rather the father was telling the son or daughter not to be foolish and do something so stupid as he had done that made him be here, but rather to follow in the steps of Jesus. And this is what one of the chaplains, several reported, and hearing from the fathers. And so when we have no idea sometimes, if you're not in any way involved and so forth, or hear about it, of what can happen in a prison with people who have murdered someone, done such atrocious crime that they would be sentenced for life without parole. That must take a terrible crime to get that kind of a sentence. And yet we know that God is able to reach into the heart and mind of people and draw them unto himself and give that person a new outlook on life and a new beginning of a new creation. Yes, God is still saving men and women, boys and girls, unto himself. I mentioned that, and now, I don't know, do you all know that in New York you have a great big electric sign and so forth, and that is clicking all the time of a new baby born in the world and so forth. And so we have it's showing 7.4 billion now. And so of those 7.4 billion, it is estimated that 3.1 have no Bible and have no one to tell them about it, and that 1.4 have never heard of Jesus. And so this is our goal, to get God's word into all of the, sometimes you have countries who have split like Angola did and became two nations, but I think there are only 19 countries left now that we're not in with God's word. And just the other day we heard of another hotel in China that has opened its doors. We've been praying and praying. We have special prayer meeting every June throughout the world, that there's someone praying all the time with the different time zones, that China will be open, and that Afghanistan will be open, and so forth, of those 19 countries. You can partner with us, and I know you do. First of all, in your prayers, pray that we will be faithful in our commitment to place God's word. Pray that we will be faithful also in not only handing the testament, here's your free testament, or here's your free Bible, or as one of our Gideons has done recently, here, did you know it's free Bible day today? And so forth. And as we go to the various schools, to get God's word to the people, to those young people, so they won't end up in Angola prison. And pray for us that we will remain faithful. And then if any of you are interested in joining us, today I happen to be 88. And it's a joy for me to be in this ministry. In July will be 59 years that I've been active in this. And the doors just keep opening in more ways than one. And so we need men I was telling Harold about my experience with two of our older Gideons who passed on to be with the Lord. But we were at North High, and Hollis Connor, I called him and I said, we're going to be, don't call me anymore. He said, I have shingles so bad. I've had it for 11 years. And he said, I have shingles so bad sometimes I can hardly sit, and so forth. So I talked a little bit, and then I called him back. And I said, Hollis, I will call you so you can pray for us when we're at the schools. He said, yes, that I can do. And then Dr. Kaufman, who was the employee's doctor at Lutheran Hospital, and they were both 84. And so I had already surveyed at North High where we wanted the various men. And I thought, okay, these guys are in their 80s, and this was a few years ago. And so I thought, I'll put them over here on the sidewalk where there isn't much traffic. And we got there and unloaded the boxes, and they said, we'll take the driveway here out of the parking lot. Oh, no, I thought. And sure enough, it became a blessing, and I've never forgotten that. Hollis Connor was by the driver's side. It was a beautiful, warm September day. And as these guys would come with their girlfriends and so forth and hit the street, and if there was didn't see anybody, they didn't even come to a stop. And yet on this occasion, here was Dr. Kaufman on the driver's side and Hollis on the passenger side, and here's your free testament. And Hollis was, oh, there's two in back. Here, you two knew them too. And the principal had looked out, and he told me afterwards, he said, I've watched these kids. They don't stop at that coming out of the parking lot. And with you guys there, they came to a complete stop. And so he commended us for it. But it's not only the blessing that we receive, but it's the blessing that the individual who accepts Christ and now has a transformation in their life to turn around and be a new creature and have a new creation experience and have a new pathway to follow to be God's disciple. Had the opportunity at the DIA and came down the escalator and the train had just parked. And it was just packed full. And so I said, you think my wife and I could still get in? And they backed up a little bit and turned over here and turned around. The doors closed right in front of our nose. And it happened to be on a Sunday. I was wearing my suit. Try to always remember to carry have my emblem pinned on. And so the young man standing, he said, you're with the Gideons, aren't you? I said, yes, are you familiar with our ministry? Oh, he said, I'm a product of it. And I said, how so? And he said, in 1989, you were on the CU campus, and you gave me a testament. He said, I didn't read it for years, but I didn't throw it away. It was in the dresser drawer. He said, today I'm his disciple. And so we have the privilege every year. We've been there now 41 years. On the CU campus. And a couple of years ago, you may remember that they had they call it a smoke out when they're going to smoke marijuana and so forth. And the regents had made a rule that no outside group would be allowed on the campus that week. Well, we had just made arrangements to be there that. And so we went back whether that applied to us, and they said yes. But you can be on the outside, all of the entrances to the campus you can be. Well, we gave out, I don't know how many hundred, but 3 weeks later they called the man who always arranges it in Boulder and said, you can come now and be on the campus. We had 30 men stationed in various areas on the campus. They always allow us to do that in the midst of the campus. And so we've just had a wonderful relationship with them. Each September we're on the Auraria campus. in February, we're on the DU campus, and then Red Rocks, and oh, I could tell you an interesting story about the Red Rocks. But anyway, it's just a blessing for each one of us as we're involved in this. And if any one of you that are involved in ministry now, that you would like to have a new dimension to your life, talk to me about it. And then we ask you, as the Lord leads, to give to our ministry. It's the churches that are the missionary arm for us, and that give us the funds for which we need to purchase the scriptures. We can go up to five. We have a $5 million credit at the bank, and we can go that much in the hole, so to speak. And then when we get more money to ship, but the requests are overwhelming from other countries. And there are 12 countries now that are self-supporting and help the other 188 countries. And it's with your donations that we are able to accomplish this. And then through your prayers, of course, that we remain faithful. Thank you so much for the opportunity of sharing with you.
Thank you, Mr. Gettert. We do appreciate the power of the Word of God. It's alive and powerful. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. There will be an offering at the back of the church. There's a basket. And if you'd like to give towards the work of the Gideons, please do so as you leave this morning. Let's stand together. Father, it is with joy that we look at our privilege of sharing your word with the world. And whether we do it in person or through literature or radio and TV and social media, all the ways, Father, that we can contact and share what you have done, may we remember that it is your word. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. May we share it. May we know it. May we be faithful in our reading and studying and memorizing of it. As we go from here, remind us that we are your missionaries, your hands, your feet. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.